Amen. It's good to hear you sing those words. I hope that's true of you this morning, that you can say, I have no other argument, no other plea, but it's enough that Jesus died for me. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 30. Let's just pray as we begin. Father, we come to you, we praise you and thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to sing what we just sang, that you sent your son Jesus and that he humbled himself, took on the form of a slave, was obedient to your plan, to your will, and he died on a cross for me, for the people in this room, for he died for everyone so that he could provide salvation. And God, you're busy at work through your Holy Spirit using people to preach the gospel of Jesus, opening their eyes so that they can put their faith in what Jesus did. Thank you. We're here today because of that. So help us to point people to Jesus today. That's our prayer, our desire in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You with me this morning? All right. Well, we got some movement to go through. So what I'd like to do is just kind of, it's always good when we go through these letters to get to recap where we've been. So let me just do that really quick. Put that slide up there. This is where we've been so far. In chapter 1, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian believers, and he begins by just expressing joy and thanksgiving for all the things that they had been partnering in the gospel with him for, right? And he expresses just praise to God. He's like, every time I think of you, I praise and thank God. And he says, God has begun a good work in you, and he will complete it. And he continues and he moves on and he explains to the people that as he looks at his life, the outlook on in his life is this: everything that has happened to Paul to this point in his life has given him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to advance the gospel. And if you have ever read through the book of Acts, that's exactly what Jesus called Paul to do. He said, I have called you, I've appeared to you, you're going to preach to the Jews, you're going to preach to the Gentiles, you're going to preach to kings, the gospel, the good news about me. And Paul was faithful, and he did it. And as he finished out chapter 1, he began talking to these people about the reality of, okay, so God's done this good work in you, he's working it out, this is what I want you to do. I want you to live as citizens of heaven. And he begins to explain at the beginning of chapter 2 what that looks like. And you remember Greg talked about that, working together, staying together, struggling together. And then he says, don't try to impress others. Don't be about yourself and only your interests. Consider the interest of those around you. Right? And then he gives the perfect example of a citizen of heaven. In fact, he uses the King of Heaven, Jesus Christ, and he explains how he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, just like what I prayed, right? And he says, you need to have the same attitude, you need to have the same mind as Jesus as you live out being a citizen of heaven. Follow his lead. And then, last week, we looked at how he kind of talks about how, all right, you live in this world that is crooked and perverse and dark and twisted. You're living as citizens. God is doing this work in you. And Paul starts to direct their hearts to the reality that they have a testimony. Right? And he wants them to shine brightly in this dark world. He wants them to live as children of God, shine as children of God. And he says, this is kind of what it looks like for me. I pour my life out like a drink offering for Jesus. In chapter 1, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? He remember, he said, hey, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? As I preach the gospel, what's the worst thing? Okay, you stone me and I die. You kill me in prison. Okay, I'll be with Jesus. Totally worth it, right? And he kind of gets these people thinking. And when we get to where we're at today, he looks at the example of Jesus. He looks and says, this is my heart. This is how I follow Jesus. And then he gives two shining examples of this. Timothy and Epaphroditus. Pretty cool. You see his thought process here? So let's read this passage, and we're going to jump right in. We're going to read about these two men, and we're just going to kind of, as we go, see what Paul says about them, how he commends them, how he recommends them to this church in Philippi, right? Here we go, Philippians 2, 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Let me just pause here. You know, we've been reading about this letter, and it's a letter of joy, and Paul is in prison, and he's talking about all these things, and he has this amazing outlook. I want to encourage you with this. As when I read this back in August, as we were getting ready for the sermon series, this is what I thought to myself. Oh, my word. Paul is not just a positive thinker. You meet those people? They're positive thinkers. Remember last time we talked about people who look at the glass, what, half full? Paul is saying here, it would have crushed me if Epaphroditus had died. Serving Jesus, for Paul, he felt the weight of it. Okay? As we live for Jesus, and as we live as citizens of heaven, and as we shine as God's children, don't think that if you don't have this, woohoo, let's go, yay, team Jesus, that something's wrong with you. We can have joy with the weight of life. Do you understand? We can't overlook that. I'm not going to highlight that this morning, but when I read that, I was like, whoa, if Epaphroditus would have died, boy, that would have been really, really tough for Paul. And he would have had to run to Jesus, right? Just like we do. Okay, so there is hope. If you're here this morning, I just felt like as I was going through this morning, I had to say that to you, okay? So as we keep going, he says this, verse 28, I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For Epaphroditus nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Okay, so let's just think about this. Amazing, we're getting to this letter. He's given all these things, live like this, follow Jesus' example, pour your life out like a drink offering for Jesus. And he introduces these two shining examples. In the book of Acts, Paul meets Timothy in Lystra, okay? He is with a group of people. He and Silas are with a group of men, and they're worshiping together, and they're fasting together. And the Spirit says to the group, single out Paul and Silas. I have a job I want them to do. And they lay their hands on them. They send them out, and Paul and Silas go. And on their way, stop in Lystra, and they meet Timothy. Now, Timothy is kind of standing out in the church. And the leaders of the church, Paul comes, and they're like pushing Timothy forward. Look at this guy. You need to meet this guy, Paul. He loves Jesus. And Paul meets him, and he is impressed with Timothy. So much so that he invites Timothy to come along with him on the missionary trip with Silas. Okay? Timothy probably is around 25, maybe early 30s. That's what commentators think. He's with Paul for 15 years. Commentators think Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy towards the end of his life, 15 years-ish after he meets Timothy. Okay, so that's a long time. Timothy goes on these missions trips, and Paul's like, hey, I want you to go over here for a little while. Come back to me. Hey, Timothy, I want you to go over here for a little while. Come back to me. He's with Paul, right? You read the book of Acts. He's just there, okay? So pretty powerful. Let's see. Here's the first shining example. Timothy is the shining example, and here's the first way I see. Look at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. Okay, you're thinking, wait a second, I don't really see it here. Well, this is let you in on how my brain works, okay? Sorry about that. You're going to kind of see a little bit here. You're going to go into the webs. Here's the first thing. Timothy was trustworthy. Timothy was trustworthy. That's what I see when I see this. Paul felt, hey, I'm going to send this letter. People think he sent it with Timothy, with Epaphroditus, back to Philippi. So they think that Paul was in either Rome, Ephesus, or Caesarea, but probably Rome, okay? And so think about it. If you're going to send a letter from Rome to Philippi, you have to send somebody who's trustworthy, right? Ernie's a mailman. You don't just send anybody to take the mail, right? They have to be trustworthy. And so look at this map here. This is interesting. I found this map. This is pretty cool. It's at orvis.stanford.edu. The history department at Stanford put this together. You can go there and you can find out. Let's say, you know, I want to go from Rome to Philippi, and it's really pretty cool. You can put in there's seasons of year, there's different modes of transportation, and they kind of looked at history and things, and they said, this is probably what we think it would take for somebody to make this trip. So I was thinking, okay, well, if Paul was in Rome, and he sends Timothy and Epaphroditus back to Philippi, how long would it take? So I put in the best season, the fastest way to go, which would be coastal sailing, and that's what it cranked out. Roughly 18 days, 1,609 miles. Wow. You don't send just anybody to go 1,600 miles with a letter, do you? If it were me, I'd be like, how many of you have stopped at the world's largest truck stop on 80? Be like, oh, right? Okay. Timothy was trustworthy. And the question I need to ask myself is am I trustworthy? Am I trustworthy? Are we trustworthy? When we're asked to do a ministry or when we feel like Jesus has put in our heart to do something, do we follow through? Are we trustworthy? Are we flighty? Are we like, oh, a fuzz. Look, there it goes. There it goes. That's how I was in school. Hey, dude, you see that fuzz right there? Timothy was so, may we be people who are trustworthy, right? Amen? He is a shining example of that. But here's the next one. Verse 20, Paul says, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. No one like him. Paul had no one. Imagine your boss. You go to work tomorrow. And your boss, your direct report, is there. And the owner of the company is there. No one knew they were coming. And you walk in the door, and your boss says, hey, I want you to meet this guy, this gal. We don't have anyone like them working here. They're amazing. When they show up, stuff gets done. That is a pretty good recommendation, isn't it? But what's interesting is when we read what Paul says in the Greek, it's even much more amazing than that. Okay, that is pretty good. But when you see what he says there, look at it. He says this, the second thing, Timothy was like-minded or equal in soul with Paul. That's what that Greek word means. I'm not that great at pronouncing Greek words, so I'll tell you what it means. What was he saying? Timothy had the same mind as Paul. Timothy's soul was equal with Paul. Paul is saying, it's like you're getting a little Paul when Timothy walks through the door. So what does that look like? Well, we know Paul prayed all the time for these Philippian believers. We know Paul loved these believers. We know Paul was willing for Paul to live as Christ and to die as gain. We know that Paul looks at his life as being poured out as a drink offering. It was worship. All these different things. When Paul says, I have no one like him, that's what he's saying about Timothy. That is pretty huge, isn't it? That is a shining example of what it means to follow Jesus, to be a citizen of heaven, to be a child of God. That's amazing. Like-minded. And I have to ask myself, do I have the same mind? Paul said in Philippians 2, he said, have the same attitude as Jesus, have the same attitude as Jesus. And as we're going, I hope, as we're going through Philippians and we're learning about Paul, we're looking at his outlook, we're looking at what he values. I'm reading the book of Acts right now. And I was telling Kim the other day, we have coffee together. I was like, man, I'm just getting so beat up. Because I look at these guys, these women, the early church. And it's like, boy, I don't think like they do. Man, I want to be able to say, another day, another opportunity. Right? Don't you? I want to be able to say, boy, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What's the worst thing that could happen? That's what Paul is saying about Timothy. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? But he goes on. There's a bunch of things he says. Look at verses 20 and 21. Have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they seek all their own interests. Huh. Okay. So this is what he's saying here. The third thing, Timothy genuinely cared about the believers. He genuinely cared. You get the idea that there were some people who were only about themselves from what Paul just said there, right? He was all about them. Timothy was genuine. He wasn't serving or helping to get something out of somebody. He wasn't serving or helping to get to the next position or to get the hat or to get the ministry. He was being Timothy. He's being genuine. He's just, that's Timothy. And Paul's letting these believers know, hey, look, when he walks through the door, he genuinely cares for your welfare. He's going to point you to Jesus. He's going to tell you what Jesus wants. And I have to ask myself, we have to ask ourselves, do we genuinely care? If I'm honest, sometimes, man, my it's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I think we should do. It's about what I think we should have in the building. It's about what color I think. You know, it's just like, ah. It can be so difficult, can it? Paul, he wrote the letters to Timothy, and he's like, there were even people in the church at Ephesus, guys, who were stealing money from the widows. Who does that? Really? Talk about being in it only for yourself. Your own. There are people in the church today who are like that. I feel sorry for the day when they stand before Jesus. I was reading this week, Herod got a little prideful and he died of worms. Paul said, you're prideful, God's going to punish you, and he died from worms. Isn't it good that God doesn't do that today? In a heap of worms. That would be a special effect in a movie, wouldn't it? But Timothy's example challenges us to be genuine. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, or you've been around them and they're like, well, I love you in the Lord. Oh, really? Huh. Doesn't sound like it. You ever had that? Somebody say that? You ever want to say, well, maybe you need to alert your face because your face doesn't look like you love me. The way you treat me doesn't. We need to be genuine. It's hard. It is hard sometimes. But we have to pray, God, help me be genuine. Right? Here's another thing. Verse 21. They all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. What is he saying here about Timothy? Well, Timothy was interested in what mattered to Jesus. What mattered to Jesus? Well, here's just a couple. They're biggies, I think. The first thing that Jesus said when he went into his ministry, Mark records, you know what he said? He said, repent and believe the gospel. That's what matters to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you haven't repented of your sin and you haven't put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross to save you, he bore our sins in his body on the tree so that by his wounds we may be healed. He makes a way for us to get back to God. If you haven't put your faith in what he did, if you're trying to be good enough, if you're trying to have your things outweigh your bad, Jesus wants you to understand that he has provided salvation for you. Put faith in what he has provided. Today's the day. That's what matters to Jesus. That's what mattered to Timothy. What else? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. He said, love God first, love your neighbor as yourself, right? These are the things Paul is saying about Timothy. Paul is saying, what matters to Timothy is what matters to Jesus. Jesus' interests are Timothy's interests. And I have to ask myself the question, do I have the same interests? Does what matter to Jesus matter to me? Or am I mattering or worrying about all these things? They're just kind of like, okay. And we're seeing in this letter, Paul's like, guys, don't complain and argue about things that are secondary things. There are important things, things that matter to Jesus. I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't care about these other things, but think about it. Jesus had a ministry for 3 years. He was on the earth for, we think, 33 years. There were a lot of things that Jesus could have said that he didn't. And there were things that he did that kind of, he's like, well, you know, Jesus, like, he didn't really, he broke the Sabbath and he ate with people he probably shouldn't have eaten with. And why? What mattered to Jesus? Lost people matter to Jesus. So these other things, okay, right? You get it? That's how Timothy was. What an amazing example. And I look at my life and I say, am I like that? Right? We need to think. We shouldn't get caught up and argue about these side things. Man, it can be so easy. Go on YouTube. You got all these 30-second and minute shorts that like get you worried about all these things. And it's like, no. Right? I get an amen. Jeez. Sorry, I'm letting you know. I'm like that. It's like, talk about fuzz, right? That's a distraction, is what I'm saying. What matters to Jesus? Here's the next one. 22? Yeah, good. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Okay, this is cool. This is a cool word. Timothy's been tested. So what's he saying? Timothy has proved his mettle. He's proved his mettle. He had been with Paul. He saw Paul teach. He saw Paul preach. Paul saw him teach. Paul saw Timothy preach. Paul saw Timothy in bad weather on boats. He saw Timothy when everything went sideways in Philippi. And he's like, Timothy has been tested. He can be trusted. You know, in college, I worked at a fencing company. And it was probably one of the hardest physical jobs I've ever had. I graduated early. And in the spring, I worked. My dad got me this job in college when I was, I think I was a sophomore. And it was scary. I think I've told stories about it before, but it was scary. Like, I was really scared of these guys. And the owner was like, whoa, okay? And I remember, some of you think I'm thin now. I was 145 pounds with a weight vest on back then. And guys would show up, and I remember one day these two bodybuilders showed up, and everybody's like, oh man, look how big they are. They're super strong. They got these huge muscles, you know? They quit at lunchtime. So little scrawny Darren worked for months there. And I remember Debbie and I got married, and it was like manual labor. Like, here, take this chain link fence fabric, and oh, we're not going to use the forklift. You carry it to the truck. Okay. And you're like carrying all these things, you know. And I'm not kidding. At nighttime, I would be in bed, and all of a sudden, my forearms would cramp. It was the weirdest thing. My hands would go like this. And I'm like, Lord, ah! And I started screaming. Debbie probably remembers this. And I'm like, help, Debbie, help. And she's like trying to pull my hands back. I'm like, ah! You know? And I got a job at my first church in Ohio, and I went in to tell Tim, the owner, that I was quitting. I was scared to death. And he goes, hey, you know what? Do you need a letter from me? I told him, he knew I was going to be a pastor. And he said, do you need a letter from me? He said, I know it's different. What you're going to do is way different than what you've done here. But I got to be honest. When you walked in with your dad, I really didn't think you were going to make it through the first day. And he said, the people you're going to may need to know that you're a hard worker. You stick with it. That's what Paul is saying about Timothy. Do we give up quickly when maybe the ministry doesn't go the way we want it to, that we're involved in? Do we give up when we thought maybe God wanted us to do this, but he's like, nope. Like, I'm out. Timothy wasn't like that. Boy, we need to be like Timothy, amen? Don't give up. You have a refuge and you have strength. God is the one who gives us the desire and the power to live to please him, amen? That's what Paul said. Here we go. Here's the next one. Philippians 2:22. You know, Timothy's proven worth how as a son with a father, he has served me with me in the gospel. Here's the last thing he says about Timothy. Timothy served with Paul like a son. He looked at Timothy and he's like, I'm so connected to that guy. He respects me and honors me. I thought of a farmer who has a farm and he's teaching his son how to take it over when he gets older. And he teaches them the ins and outs. This is what you got to do with this piece of equipment. Sometimes you just got to walk up to it and kick it right here. Teaching them how to fabricate things, how to fix them when they break. And then the pops gets to the point where he just can't do it anymore and son takes over. That's what Paul does in 1 and 2 Timothy to Timothy. And he's like, guys, he works with me like he's my son. Pretty powerful. Pretty amazing example, isn't he? But he was shining. Here's this next person we see. Epaphroditus. The shining example of Epaphroditus. Look at verse 25. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. My brother. This is cool. Here's the first thing. Epaphroditus was a brother to Paul. He says, my brother. Now, I think it's a little more than just he's my brother in Christ, right? He's like, no, he's a, the NLT says he's a true brother. Think brother from another mother. You ever heard that? Hey, man, bro, you're my brother from another mother. Right? Paul just really also connected with Epaphroditus. You know, it's like, have you ever played a sport? I played soccer in college. You ever played with a sport, you know, guys, girls? And you get on the team, and they just, they become your brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? Just like, or you have somebody, you walk up to them, and you do the big, you know, you kind of like, you don't just shake hands, you kind of, and then you grab them, and you pull them in and do a bro hug. You know what I mean? Or sometimes guys walk up, and they just kind of hit forearms. Hey, bro. Right? Or you have that girl, you're like, hey, sister. Hey, you're my sister. Right? I mean, that's what Paul is saying here about Epaphroditus. Now, that's no small thing because, to be honest, I used to think that was kind of weird. Growing up, going to church, well, I'd like to introduce you to Brother Rich, Brother Gary, Brother Joel, Brother Kim. Well, and this is Sister Lois, Sister Nicole, Sister Laura. I was like, but do you catch what he's saying about Epaphroditus? It's no small thing that as children of God, we are brothers and sisters. So how do I look at you, my brothers and sisters? How do we look at each other? Are we striving to connect in this family of misfits and sinners who've been redeemed by Jesus? When my boys were little, I told them, you're not allowed to fight with each other. He's your brother. He's family. He's blood. And there's going to come a day when he's going to be the only one who's going to stand by you. And you want him there. And praise the Lord, that's the way my boys are. But that's how it should be in the church. It's how we need to be. If we're going to live as citizens of heaven and shine as God's children, we have to be there for each other. Amen? That's an amazing example. Here's another one. He's my fellow worker. Fellow worker. Epaphroditus was great to work with. He was a great partner. Have you ever had a great coworker? You know, they make work fun. Now, there's those coworkers that make work fun, but they don't work. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that they really work. Like, you're just kind of slamming through work. I had a friend, when I was in college, I also removed asbestos in the summer. A friend I went to high school with, his dad owned an asbestos abatement company. Now, we did wear PPE. Like, if we turn off all the lights, I'm not going to glow, okay? But, man, I tell you what, we would get together, and they'd put us in a room, and we'd cover it with plastic and get it ready to, and we were just, like, singing songs about Jesus, and we're just, like, slapping tape on stuff, and I mean, like, it was good. Like, it didn't look like, you know, like it just sounded. And it's just, you're like, man, I love working with them, right? We would come into a school like this and rip out asbestos, and we had 2-3 semi-truck fulls to the roof of 80 to 90 pound bundles of, and you can picture it, me, 145 pounds, just 2 days slugging these things into the, and I was working with football players from the University of Toledo and Bowling Green State. So there was a, and we hung with each other. And they're like, dude, man, I don't know how you're still going. They're like, and I'm like, I don't know how you're still going either. You know, it just, work is fun. And that's how it should be as we work together with Jesus, as we're partners with Jesus. We need to be good fellow workers with each other, hard workers, spurring each other on. Don't give up. Come on, man. We're almost done. That's what he's saying about Epaphroditus. Man, he was great to work with. The word he uses here is the word we get synergy from. There's like this. So do we team up with each other? Or is it my thing? No, this is my thing. Yeah. This is my microphone. This is where I stand. This is my classroom. No, no, no. Everything's better as a team. It is. That's what Paul said. He's a great fellow worker. Here's another one. We're really getting up quick here. We're at almost the end. Thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. He's a fellow soldier. Ooh. Fellow soldier. What? Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier with Paul. Sometimes you do stuff with people and you're in the trenches and you know they have your back. A soldier doesn't leave anyone behind. Epaphroditus would go to battle with Paul. He's the kind of guy who won't leave when things get tough. He would stay. And in fact, he would fight the enemy until reinforcements came, if it was just you, he and Paul. That's the kind of stuff that you... What an example for Paul. Earlier, Paul told the believers to stand together, to struggle together, to fight together. That's the kind of guy Epaphroditus was. Am I that kind of guy? Are we, as we partner together in the gospel, are we fellow soldiers? Here's the last one. Verse 30. Wow. This is how far Epaphroditus was willing to go. He nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life. So, Epaphroditus, fourth thing, was willing to risk his life for Christ. He was just like Paul. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? I'll go to Rome and take care of Paul. I'll be there for him. I'll minister to his needs. Count me in. I'm going. Well, how do we apply this message? Here's just to wrap it up. Here's the list. Are we trustworthy? Do we genuinely care for others, their welfare in Christ? Are we interested in what matters most to Jesus? Are we able to stand when tested? How about this? Are we true brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we work well with others for Jesus? Are we fellow soldiers with others? This is the really brutal one to me. Are we willing to risk or pour out our lives for Jesus? These guys were shining examples. What a challenge. I started watching. I got 30 seconds. Show this picture. I started watching this, you know who that is, right? That's me when I was in college. Just kidding. I started watching this documentary, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he talks about how when he was 14 or 16, he went to this movie theater, and he saw this guy on screen. He was Hercules. And he's like, I didn't know people's muscles could get that big. And he's like, I'm just watching the movie. I'm like, I want to be like him someday. Those muscles. I'm going to become a bodybuilder. I'm going to go to America, USA. I'm going to be in the movies. And so what he did was he went back to his childhood home, and those are the pictures that were on his wall. And I remember as a kid, I had like, mine were Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Dr. J. And you can tell I made it to the NBA, can't you? Here's the thing. Kids, You're going to get to my age someday, and no one's going to really care about those influencers. No one's really going to care about those football players and basketball players. You want somebody to say about you what Paul said about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Adults, I hope when I'm in a basket in the front of the room and people are talking about me, that they're saying what Paul said about Timothy and Epaphroditus. May we be citizens of heaven who shine as God's children. And we're going to see in chapter 3, Greg's going to get there. Paul's going to say, follow Jesus' example. Be like Timothy and Epaphroditus. And you know what? Follow me as I follow Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Boy, it's so humbling to read your word and to know that you love me enough to send. It wasn't anything because I had done. It wasn't me. But you loved us, all of us. And it's so humbling to know that you sent Jesus. And it's so humbling to see these people. They weren't perfect, but they loved you. And they asked you to give them the desire and the power to live to honor you and glorify you. Help us be those kind of people. May High Point Church be known as that. We pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go ahead and stand and close in song.
Amen.